Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
We're continuing on our series of prayers of the people where we go through different prayers of people from the Bible. And today we're going to be talking about Aaron's priestly prayer of blessing upon the people of Israel. And blessing is one of those words that we use a lot in the church world, but I'm unsure that we really know what it means. It seems to mean so many different things. We are blessed by others. The things we have are considered a blessing. Maybe you tag it on your social media posts, hashtag blessed. Maybe you graciously bless others when they sneeze in your presence. I get blessed this way very often by others because I get sun sneezes. Does anyone else get this? No? All right, Dwayne. Me and Dwayne have got this. When I walk out of someplace dark into the sunlight, I start sneezing uncontrollably. And I thought it was just a random coincidence for many years, but turns out it's an actual condition, and it's called, buckle up for this word, autosomal dominant compelling helio-ophthalmic outburst. And the person who called it this probably thought they were really funny that day, because the acronym for this condition is A-C-H-O-O, or achoo. They did not miss that opportunity. And apparently it gets passed on to your kids, too. I remember when my oldest daughter was just a baby, we were walking out of Walmart, and we shared a father-daughter bonding experience of sneezing uncontrollably all the way to the car. You might also hear the word blessing in reference to material things, like money or houses or cars. In fact, there's a whole movement in Christianity often referred to as the prosperity gospel that says that God wants to bless his people with all of these things. That God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be powerful. He wants you to have a big house, a fancy car, everything you could ever dream. Many of the pastors and leaders of these movements have mansions, multiple vehicles, private jets. But is that what blessing truly is? Accumulating the best of what this earth has to offer. We need to know what God himself says about blessing, to know what blessing is and to know what it isn't. So what is blessing? I found it incredibly difficult to get a good, concise, biblical definition of blessing. There are a lot of commentators and theologians who define blessing, but the most common words that came up in definitions were goodness and favor. And if you're anything like me, you may struggle with that word, favor. I've always felt uncomfortable when thinking about God's favor. Does that mean that God has favorites? That God is a God of favoritism? That if you get in the cool kids club, you're good to go, but if not, you better watch out. Isn't favoritism wrong? How can God have favorites? Maybe a more helpful way of understanding God's favor is to see it less as favorite or favoritism and more closely to our English word, favorable. What does it mean to have a favorable view of someone? Well, it means that we see the best in them. We don't focus only on their flaws and their negative traits, that we want what is best for them. To have a favorable view of someone is to wish goodwill upon them. And we see this throughout Scripture and how God sees us. Psalm 84, the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Psalm 30, for his anger is but a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. 2 Corinthians 5, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. Now, God has every right to have an unfavorable view towards us, to be angry towards us. We sinned. We turned away from him. We disobeyed. But God chooses to see us through eyes of favor, not counting our sins against us, but being a God of reconciliation, a God that wishes what is truly good upon his people. And that's the second important word that kept coming up in these definitions of blessing, goodness. This is where we can get into a little bit of trouble. Whose definition of goodness? This is where the prosperity gospel can creep in. Since I might define goodness as wealth, comfort, and self-indulgence, then that must be what God wants to give to me. But God's definition of goodness and our own definition of goodness can be very different. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, Jesus says that these are the people who are blessed, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the ones persecuted because of righteousness. Doesn't exactly sound like the who's who of the wealthy and powerful in our world, does it? And what are these people promised? What's their blessing from God? Well, he says they're blessed with the kingdom of heaven, with being comforted, with inheriting the earth, with being filled, being shown mercy, seeing God, being called children of God. God's blessing to his people is not in physical things. But like Pastor Jason said to me the other day, God's blessing is his presence and his promises. And God blesses us with himself, with coming close to us and giving us his presence. But he also blesses us with his promises, which never fail. God's goodness is not just something that God possesses and he pours out on us when he chooses. God's goodness is who he is. And he blesses us with his goodness, meaning his presence and his promises. So a working definition of blessing can be this. To bless is to give or bestow goodness, that being defined as God's presence and promises, and favor upon another. And in Numbers 6, we see Aaron's prayer of blessing over the Israelites. And it's likely a prayer you've heard before. You definitely have, because we just read it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I want to walk through this line by line. First, the Lord bless you. The first thing we need to notice is how often the Lord is repeated. Three times in this prayer, it says the Lord, emphasizing that all blessing comes directly from him, that he is the initiator of the blessing, that he is the one who gives good gifts to his children, and most importantly, that he himself is the blessing. He doesn't just give us gifts that might be lying around heaven. He gives us himself, his goodness, which is his presence and his promises. All blessings come directly from the Lord. Then it says, and keep you. Mr. Ed? Check, check. Gave us a chance to hear the kids screaming. That's awesome. They're sure excited about something. They are very blessed. And keep you. That's where we are. Not only does God bless us with his goodness, his presence, promises, and favor, but he also keeps us. Kent Hughes clarifies this statement. He says, in other words, may the Lord provide us with what we need and protect us from harm. Provision and protection. God provides for our needs and protects us from harm. And this is where God's blessing feels very practical. Our earlier definition of blessing speaks about God's goodness and favor. How God's definition of goodness in our own is quite different. Now, that's not to say that God cannot or does not sometimes bless us with material things. He provides for our needs, and many of our needs are physical. I'm sure many of us in this room have stories of how God blessed us by providing for our physical needs. Maybe it was finding a house when you needed it, or finances when things were running low, or food when you desperately needed it. God does provide for our needs, and that is certainly a blessing. But this is not the extent or the focus of his blessing. We are not to chase this provisional blessing for our physical needs. As Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things. And this is the key. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added as well. Our heavenly Father knows what we truly need. We are to seek him, his presence, and his promises, knowing that he knows our needs and provides for us. The Lord make his face to shine on you. This is a beautiful picture. Throughout Scripture, God's face turned towards someone meant life, delight, and love. Whereas his face turned away meant death, destruction, and separation. When you think of someone's face shining, what do you think about? Maybe it's a new mother holding her newborn baby for the first time. Maybe it's a grandfather when his grandkids come to visit. Maybe it's a young couple looking at each other on their wedding day. To say that the Lord's face shines on us is to say that he delights in us, that he is near to us. Some translations of this verse say, the Lord make his face to smile on you. There's a sense of joy, of delight when God looks at us, his children. Zephaniah 3 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God's face shines upon us with delight, with rejoicing. And be gracious to you. In looking at us with delight and joy, God is gracious to us. He showers his mercy, his grace, and his kindness upon his children, especially when we don't deserve it. He's the God of second chances, the God who doesn't give up on us, the God who leaves the 99 to find the one who is lost. He is a God of grace. The Lord turn his face toward you. Similar to God's face shining, this verse speaks of God's presence and nearness to us. One commentator described it as God's attention. And I like that. I think that's interesting. I think we all know what it's like to talk to someone when their face is not turned to us, especially those of us with young kids. It's frustrating when someone else is distracted, isn't it? When they're looking around the room, doing something else while we're talking. This is not the picture of God in this blessing. His face is turned toward us. His eyes are looking right at us. He is near, he is present, and we have his attention. Ian Duguid puts it this way. He said, God thus wants our relationship with him to be one where we not only know his protection and keeping, but also where we know his presence. This is blessing indeed, to know that the Lord's face is turned toward us and we know his favor. The Lord commanded the priests to remind the people daily that by his grace they can know that he delighted in them. Do we know the blessing of that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father? I think that's a great question. Do you know the blessing of that kind of relationship with your Heavenly Father? Do you know that he is near, that his face is turned toward you, that he isn't too busy to spend time with you, that he delights and rejoices in you? How would each of our lives look differently if we actually truly believed this? Well, I think it directly relates to what's written next, and give you peace. If we truly believe that we were loved, that we were delighted in, that God comes close to us, is near to us, then we would have the most unshakable peace. The God of the universe cares for me, loves me, and delights in me. There's no greater peace than knowing that. And when I think of peace, I think of Paul's words in Philippians 4. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. It's the peace that's so strong, it doesn't even make sense. That peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And I love that Paul included both of those things, our hearts and our minds. For many of us, we lack peace in our hearts. Our feelings, our emotions can run out of control. We can lack peace in our hearts because our emotions can be all over the place. For many of us, we lack peace in our minds. Our thoughts can run out of control. Overthinking decisions, going over situations over and over again, stressing about the details. Our minds, our thoughts can lack peace. But this peace of Christ that's so strong that it doesn't even make sense, it is here to guard our hearts, our emotions, to guard our minds, our thoughts in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful promise that is. So I wanted to pause for a second and have us reflect on this prayer of blessing to ask that question, do you believe this? Do you believe that this is how God sees you? That this is the gift that he wants to give to you? The Lord bless you, his presence, his promise, and his favor, and keep you, his protection and provision. The Lord make his face shine on you, his delight and his joy, and be gracious to you, his grace, mercy, and kindness. The Lord turn his face toward you, his presence and his attention, and give you peace. Now, it may not always feel like this is true, but it is. This is the truth about how God sees you, about how God wants to bless you, every single one of us. And these verses are the heart of the prayer of blessing, but what comes directly before them and directly after them are incredibly important. Before the blessing, verse 22 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites.'" The Lord spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to Aaron and his sons, and Aaron and his sons were to bless the Israelites in this way. So why Aaron and his sons? Well, they were the Levites. They were the priests. It's why this passage is often referred to as the priestly blessing. The priests of Israel prayed this prayer of blessing upon the Israelite people. And priests did many things, but their primary responsibility was to be mediators between God and the Israelites. They gave sacrifices to God on behalf of their people, and they helped to lead the people in worship. But on the flip side, they often spoke on behalf of God to the Israelites. Numbers 6 is a great example of this. Aaron and his sons spoke God's blessing upon the people. Now you might be thinking, I ain't no priest. I'm not some paid pastor or anything like that. That may be true, but you are a priest. All of us who believe in Jesus are considered to be priests. 1 Peter 2 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Or Revelation 1, he's made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. We are all priests. We're all mediators. And that's not to say that we're necessary for other people to encounter Jesus or for Jesus to speak to other people, but we do have a privilege of representing Jesus and bringing people into his presence, like priests. And we have the privilege of speaking God's words and representing him to the people that we meet. And right after this blessing, in verse 27, it says, "So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." We are priests, but we're also ambassadors. His name is written on us. We bear his name. In 1 Corinthians 2, 5, Paul uses the term ambassadors. He says, "We therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." I think this idea of ambassadors is on our mind a lot this week with the G7 happening in Kananaskis. Leaders and ambassadors of countries descending on Alberta to meet together. Maybe you had a similar experience, but I was driving last weekend, and there was a big motorcade of a bunch of motorcycles and black SUVs with the lights going. I don't know who it was, but clearly someone very important. And ambassadors really have one main job, to represent their country, to do what is best in the eyes of their country, and to speak and act on behalf of their country. Paul says that we are not ambassadors of a country, but rather we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We represent Jesus to everyone that we meet. We're called to speak his words, to act the way that he acts, to love the way that he loves. That is our role as ambassadors. So we're priests and we're ambassadors, but what does that have to do with blessing? We are first to receive God's blessing and live upon the foundation of God's blessing in our lives. That's where it needs to start. We need to know his blessing, his provision, his protection, his delight and grace and presence and peace for us in Jesus. But it can't stop there. Out of the blessing that God has given us, we are called now to be his priests and his ambassadors who go out and bless the world around us. And I think many of us are familiar with the idea of praying for other people. I think it's pretty hard to make the argument that we're not called to pray for people. We often see praying for others through the lens of intercessory prayer, lifting up their needs to God and praying for what we know about their life. And that's wonderful. We talked about intercessory prayer a few weeks ago. We are called to lift up the needs of others to God. praying prayers of blessing on people, that seems a little less common, maybe a little weird, a little uncomfortable or unknown. But as priests and ambassadors of Jesus, we are called to pray prayers of blessing upon others. And this isn't just an Old Testament idea. We see it all over the New Testament too. Every single one of Paul's letters has a blessing in the opening greeting. Ephesians 1, grace and peace to you. Colossians 1, grace and peace to you. 1 Corinthians 1, grace and peace to you. His letter to Timothy gets a little carried away. He adds another word, grace, mercy, and peace to you. But every single one of the letters that Paul writes, he says, grace and peace to you. And the other New Testament authors do the same. And many commentators suggest that when Paul does this, and the other authors do as well, they are referring to Aaron's prayer of blessing from Numbers chapter 6. That in saying grace and peace to you, they're invoking the whole priestly blessing upon their readers. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we see the importance of blessing. 1 Peter 3, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Or Romans 12, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Both of these verses show the unlimited nature of blessing. There are no exceptions. We are to bless even those who are evil, those who insult us, those who persecute us. We are not to repay evil for evil, but rather to repay evil with blessing. And this week I've been captivated by this idea of each of us living as priests and ambassadors, blessing everyone who we come across. What if we actually took those roles seriously? What if we saw our lives as a people called by God to bless others? Well, we'd see amazing things happen. First, we'd see a change in others. If we repaid evil with blessing and actively looked for ways to pray blessing and be a blessing to others, we would see amazing things happen in our world. We would also see major shifts in our own heart. The thing about praying blessing on someone, especially someone who's wronged you or that you find difficult to love, is they don't remain your enemy very long. When we pray blessing upon them, we start to see them in the way that God sees them. We start to love them more. We start to see their value more. Praying blessing on others changes our hearts. A number of years ago, I worked with someone who frustrated me greatly. Anyone else ever had a situation like this? Maybe. We were co-leading a program together, and we were supposed to work closely together. And to be honest, I just was so annoyed by her. We didn't get along. I had trouble seeing her value on the team. I didn't want to work with her. And I shared that with someone much older and wiser than me. And this lady, she told me, like, have you prayed for her? I'm kind of like, oh, maybe. She's like, have you actually prayed for her? No, I have not. And she said, I want you to spend every morning praying a prayer of blessing over this girl. And not the kind of prayer of, dear God, please change her. She's the worst. That's not blessing. That's not the kind of prayer that we're supposed to pray. But to genuinely pray a blessing upon her. So I started doing that. And to this day, I don't really know if anything changed in her life. But I can tell you that little by little, God changed my heart toward her. I started to see her through God's eyes. I wasn't as frustrated with her. I actually started to enjoy working with her and seeing her value and perspective. When we pray blessing upon others, especially those who we find difficult to love, God changes our own heart toward them. And praying blessing upon others inevitably leads to us being a blessing to others. It gives us a new lens to view the world. We start to see that we can actively live as a blessing to others. How can we use our talents and our resources to bless others? How can we go out of our way to bless them with kindness? And so I'd like to give each of us the same goal this week. And that goal is twofold. I'll call it the worship team as well. The first goal is to reflect this week upon the blessings that we have received from God. Read over Numbers chapter 6. Read over Ephesians 1 or Ephesians 3. Let the truth of these blessings grow deep roots in you. Let God speak to you through these blessings. And the second goal, as priests and ambassadors of Christ, pray and be a blessing this week. I encourage you to join me in praying a blessing over a different person each day this week. You wake up on Monday and say, hey God, who do you want me to pray a prayer blessing over today? And whoever he brings to mind, Take some time to pray for them. You can use Numbers 6 as a starting point and then pray as you feel led. Chances are he might bring someone to mind who's hurt you or you don't particularly like, or someone that you struggle to love. Maybe he'll bring someone to mind who you do like and you just get the feeling that they need a prayer of blessing today. I knew someone who would intentionally go on what she called blessing walks, where she'd go for a walk in her neighborhood and she would just pray silently a prayer of blessing over every person that she walked past. It's a pretty beautiful way of shining the light and goodness of Jesus in our neighborhoods. And when we pray blessing for others, it'll often lead to us practically being a blessing to others. And so I encourage you to join me in that goal this week. Pick a person every day, pray a prayer of blessing over them. But why start tomorrow when we can start right now? Amanda very graciously agreed to sing the song at the end, and the song is called The Blessing. And its lyrics are quite literally what we just learned about today, Numbers chapter 6. The rest of the lyrics in the song are from other blessings throughout Scripture. And as we sing, first I encourage you to just receive God's blessing upon yourself, to let his words of blessing wash over you. But then I encourage you to sing this song as a prayer of blessing over someone in your life. Maybe as I've been talking today, God has brought someone to mind for you. Let him bring someone to mind and to pray, to sing this song as a blessing upon them. Let's pray together. Would you stand? Well, Father, we thank you that you are, that we sang it earlier, you're such a good Father. You shower us with blessings. And God, I just pray for each of us that first, that we would truly believe that you love us, that you have blessed us. You've blessed us with your presence, with your promises. Would we just know that that is true? And for anyone here who's having difficulty believing these things, God, would you just show your love to them today? Would they know that they are not too far gone? That they haven't done anything that has made you turn your face away from them? But you are here, you are present. Jesus, that you died for them. And God, I thank you that you call us priests and ambassadors, and I pray that we would take that seriously, that out of the overflow of the blessing that you have given to us, that we would bless those that you have placed. And God, would we know what blessing is? Would we bring your goodness, your presence, and your promises to the world around us? Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.